Okay, good evening. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian Choten Moshe et kol asher asa Elokim lo Moshe. Yitro, that's the parasha we're talking about. And we want to understand, by the way, a very interesting point. Why is the parasha called on the name of Yitro? We have a few parashot that are being called on names of certain people. Some of them are more tzaddikim than the others, and some of them are on the other side. So why really those parashot are being called on their names? For the example, there is no parasha on Moshe. No parashat Moshe. No parashat Aaron. Not even parashat Avraham. And no parashat Yitzchak. And no parashat Yaakov. But you have parashat Bil'am. You have parashat Balak. You have parashat Yitro. So the question is Pinchas. And the question is why? So of course the idea is, we always say, the Torah is not a storytelling. It's much more than it. And all those names that are mentioned are really, let's say, very important points in our life. Pinchas is the symbol of jealousy on the good side. Bilam is the symbol of somebody who got all the talent that Moshe Rabbeinu got, but did all the wrong thing. And Yitro, we all know, is the first girl. After Am Yisrael become a nation, he is the first one who decided to convert and to become Jewish.
And he also set up the whole system, you know.
Which is also very interesting. How is Moshe Rabbeinu listening? Or why did Moshe Rabbeinu need a suggestion of a goy? And Moshe Rabbeinu, this great guy who is on top of everything, who the one who, through him we get the Torah, he doesn't know simple thing like Yitro is really telling him. Because, you know, when you look at it on the surface, it's very simple. You know, one guy cannot judge the whole nation. Impossible.
Yeah, but not everybody is, not everybody is capable of being a judge. No, not only a judge, of setting, you know, of capable, there are idea people and there are practical people. There are people who have the ideas and the visions, and there are those who are the ones who can, you know, set them into.
So what you're saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu is not a practical man.
No, that he maybe didn't have the ability to organize, it that way. He was a seer. He was an idea man. He was, but maybe he, for the practical, everyday nitty gritty, he didn't know how to handle it.
A second opinion was always helpful.
No.
First of all, especially for a shriger, one of the things is to understand that we always say, Chochma bagoyim ta'amin. If you think that God chose us because we are the, what we think like this, that we are the most clever people in the world.
No.
That's not
the fishy people in the world. Opposite.
If you think that that's the reason we were chosen, and by the way, it doesn't contradict each other. It can be that we are very clever and etc. But the point is, why were we chosen? So we were not chosen because we are clever. First of all, and that is one of the ideas behind Yitro coming and telling us. And as you say, also, sometimes the guy that is inside can never see his own problems. You need somebody from the outside to tell you what's wrong with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Bureaucrats.
But, yes, but I don't think, you have all those wise people who are speaking on the parsha, and it's very clear that there's much more in it than just coming and telling Moshe Rabbeinu off and telling him you're wrong with you. Because he's, if you look at the way he's talking, it's quite, it's not so nice. Like,
well, it's a follow.
Yeah, you are a stupid man.
He says in Pasuk Yudalit, Vayach Choten Moshe et kol asher hu oseh la'am. Like he saw what everything what he's doing to the people. That it's terrible what he's doing.
Oh, Yudalit.
Yudalit. 14. Pasuk 14. ויאמר, מה הדבר הזה שאתה עושה? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing to the people? מה אתה עושה לעם? מדוע אתה יושב בבתך וכל העם יצא ולכם? Why are you sitting alone? It's like, it's really telling him off.
Yeah, no, no, no.
And what is the answer? ביום משה לחותנו, כי יבוא אליי העם לדרוש אלוקים. כי יהיה להם דבר. You know, what do you want? I'm the guy who know the laws of the Torah, and right now I'm the only one. You know, so whatever you say, it's very nice, but I have to do this. ויאמר חותן משה עליו, לא טוב הדבר שאתה עושה. No good. In other words, it doesn't accept the answer that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving him. נבול תיבול גם אתה גם העם הזה, כי what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. The people are going to lose it. And anyway, אתה, now, listen to me. That's like a mother-in-law, not a father-in-law, okay? Yeah.
You're like a mother. Like a mother.
Wow,
also.
It was a Schwieger.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Schwieger here. I'm sorry, don't make...
Not Schwieger, he's a Schwer.
Yeah. A Schwer.
A Schwer is Schwer.
A Schwer is Schwer.
So we have to understand what's going on here. So a very interesting idea I saw the Rav Adam Sinai, which is like looking really in the inside of the Torah and understand there is an approach that before I do anything in life, I have to do the right thing. I have to think before I do something, which is clever and understandable. You know, you don't do things hasty, because when you do something hasty, you can do big mistakes and do terrible things. So us that we believe in God, if we do any action, we have to check if our action is right in the eyes of God or not. Now the point is, what is the border? On everything you have to check and get right, directly to God, or
sometimes you have to act hastily.
So my friend told me a very interesting story on Shabbos. He says, this is a story that was told in the Knesiyah, one of the first meeting of Agudat Israel in the beginning of the 20th century in Europe, I presume. And the story is like this. There was this guy, he comes to the town and they offer him water to drink. Maybe that's the reason I didn't take water. And he looks at the water and they're dirty. The water is dirty. So he's telling them, what's going on here? You know, you can take the water and filter them and have clean water. That's not the way you do it. You have, first of all, because before you use the water, filter them. He goes. A month later, he comes again to the town, and the town is burned out. The whole town is burned. And he meets a few survivors, says, what happened here? He says, don't ask. We got your suggestions. And there was a fire, and it took us time to filter the water. Now, what was the subject of this meeting of Aguda at that time? The subject was to going out, and there were a lot of Jews that left the religion and going far away from religion. So the call was, we have to send people to bring back our people, to help them come back to the belief. So the argument was that a lot of the rabbis said that, you know, in order to have a mission like this being made in a proper way, you need at least 10 years in the yeshiva. And only after 10 years in the yeshiva, you're ready to do the job. So then, one of the rabbis told them this story. Mm-hmm. When you have to save people,
you don't wait.
First of all, you save them, then we see what we can do. And that's a big lesson in life. Because if we have a matter of saving life or something to do immediately, we don't start and have a whole discussion if it's right, if it's wrong. For example, a true story. There is a couple in Nebrak that I had the story a few times that they were very like ultra-orthodox in a way, like they had to keep every mitzvah to the extreme. And they were always like looking at the worst thing. Oh, you have to be very strict, very strict. One day on Shabbos, the kid got sick, ill, really ill. So they called an ambulance came. and the ambulance comes, and the man, the husband and the wife have an argument. Who is going to go with the son to hospital? Mm. Who is allowed to go? Are they both allowed to go? Only one of them? How are they going to back? And I was discussing between all that. The driver, ambulance, looked at the kid is ill, and so what did they do, the ambulance driver?
He took the kid himself.
And he took him and went. And this is exactly the sample. You know, sometimes you have to act on immediately, and only then wait. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is the nearest connection and the highest level of connection to God. He's, let's say, the guy next to God, if we want to understand. In other words, yes, the best thing is to talk with him because he is the best connection. But impossible that everybody is going to talk with him. Imagine to yourself what's happening there. We're talking about, let's say, around 3 million people, at least, because there were 600,000 men from the age of 20 to 50, whatever, and then you have kids and you had women and etc. So, if let's say half of them have a question, which is very reasonable, just now they got the Torah, they've got questions, what, you're thinking to yourself, half a million people standing outside waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu? Impossible. But he's the connection.
Even 10% would be impossible.
That's exactly what you see. He's not talking about two judges. He's talking about thousands of judges.
Yeah.
You have to understand. He says every 10 people will have a judge. Then every 100, then every 1,000. What is he really talking about? He's talking about exactly what we're talking now. If you, by the way, next parasha we'll see in Mishpatim, we will see that there are, the Or HaChaim Kadosh says, those are the laws that you put in front of them, that there are certain laws that each one of us has to know by himself. You cannot go for every question to the Rav, which is very reasonable. You know, milk and meat. Everybody has to know the difference between milk and meat. You cannot go and ask the rabbi, what is milk? What is meat? How many hours do I have to wait? What, you know, there are basic things. Wake up in the morning, what do you do first? Netilat yadayim or modeh ani? There's all those questions that you need to know them by yourself. Then, if there is a question that you don't exactly know the answer, you go to your friend, which is a little more knowledgeable, or for example, you go to your father. And if your father doesn't know the answer, or it's more complicated, you go to the rabbi of the shul. And if the rabbi of the shul is not big enough in order to answer your big question, then you go to the chief rabbi of town. And then, to go to the Gdol Hador, you go only if there is a really important question.
Like Bagatz.
Yeah, exactly. Like the same way what is called with the... You cannot go for every stupid thing to the judge.
Imagine go to Rav Kamiesky to ask him if you have to wait.
By the way, there are people that do it.
3 or 4 hours. Or
yeah, there
hours.
Are people that, no, there are people that do. They have sometimes very stupid questions. But that's also okay. But it's only a few. But if everybody is going to ask every question. So, in other words, the idea here is unbelievable. Because we also in life, we don't always know what to do. For example, the Av Adam Sinai, he gives an example that somebody is sitting in a shiur and he wants to tell his friend what he did yesterday. So he's asking himself, should I do it now? Meanwhile, the coffee, the tea that we had, by mistake, he spilled it on the table. Now, should he clean the mess? Or should he listen to the shiur? Or should he talk to his friend? Then he's starting itching. Should I itch now? Or should I
scratch now?
Is I scratch now? So, till he's thinking what to do, and then, wow, he forgot to turn off his phone, and the phone starts ringing. So, should I stop the phone? Or should I talk with my friend? Or maybe should I listen to the shiur? The shiur is finished already. And that's time, sometime in life. We think too much in order to do, instead of doing. So you would say, okay, Adam Sinai calls it, you have spontaneous, something that does things spontaneously.
Spontaneously.
So to do things spontaneously, we all love those people because they are very good people to be with. They are very fun. Like they're doing things, not thinking a lot. And you have those things that those people who think before they do. Now, normally we would love those who do things spontaneously. And we don't really love those who start thinking heavy. They're heavy. But who do we trust more?
The ones who think.
The ones who think. So what do you do? You have need
what
the
you, have to do.
You need the combination. You need people that are spontaneously thinkers and spontaneous. Thinking about what they're doing. In other words, you need the middle. And that's exactly what Yitro is really telling Moshe Rabbeinu. He's telling him, Reb Moshe, you are a very clever guy. You are the nearest to God that somebody can be, but what you're doing is wrong.
You have to delegate responsibility.
You cannot have people yes. also standing here for the whole day waiting to talk with you. And you also cannot talk with all the people. So you need to have a certain order. Simple things, more complicated, more, and only the most difficult things are going to come to you.
So he's and a good in life, father-in-law. Hmm? He's a good father-in-law. He's,
of course he is.
Watching out for
he's also the only one that heard and did the right thing.
Right.
Okay, but why did all these people get the name of in the parsha?
Because each one of them is a lesson.
Something.
It's something to learn. That's exactly the point.
That's
it doesn't matter
and
if he was Yaakov a good guy or a bad guy.
Yaakov, nothing,
yeah, I'm sorry
to
tell
to learn.
You, Yaakov, exactly, that's the point. Because Yaakov goes through with you not one parsha. He goes with you for quite a few parsha.
Yeah.
The same way Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Torah from now, there is always there. So you don't need a special parsha for it.
Called the books of Moshe.
So, in other words, Yitro. How many times do you talk about Yitro?
Once.
That's it. Pinchas. You're seeing here and there, but his parsha. This and Bilam. Also, you do hear about him. Nothing. In other words, to have a parsha on Moshe, don't need it. It's like I talked about it this week. You have six things to remember every day. Ashkenazi, that's what they do. The Sfarim have 13-day things. Like, to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim, to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai, which is in our parsha. Yitziat Mitzrayim, Ma'amad Har Sinai, Egel, Miriam, Yom HaShabbat. Six, I think.
Six?
Yitziat Mitzrayim, Ma'amad Har Sinai, Amalek, Maaseh Egel, Miriam, Yom HaShabbat. Six.
Okay.
Anyway, one of them is Ma'amad Har Sinai. To remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. Mm-hmm. What is to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai? I always thought that to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai, the idea is to remember that we received the Torah.
Matan Torah.
But no, it's not remembering Matan Torah. Definitely not. It's very clearly that you remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. So first of all, the question is, why don't we have one? This is the most important thing, Matan Torah. So why don't we have to remember Matan Torah? Oh, you've got an answer for me?
I'm looking.
No. Are you looking to find a answer? Okay. Well, so why don't we have the, the obligation to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai and Matan Torah? Why do we only remember Ma'amad Har Sinai? It's very interesting. For years, I didn't know. I was sure that I have to remember also Matan Torah. When you say Ma'amad Har Sinai, automatically Matan Torah, but not. Definitely not. You know why? You don't have to remember the Matan Torah. You have to live it.
Yeah.
It's a part of your life. But Ma'amad Har Sinai, what one occasion. And nevertheless, without Ma'amad Har Sinai, there was no Matan Torah. Because what happens in Ma'amad Har Sinai is, you know, all we're reading now in the Torah is to understand and realize that this is from God. How can I believe that this is from God? Does God talk with people?
Twice, right?
God talks with people. And the proof is Ma'amad Har Sinai. That's what he's saying. And they're also going to believe in you. What do you mean to believe? What, till now they didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? He's the one who took them out of Egypt. Of course they believed. But they didn't believe that God really talks with him, literally talking with him. Maybe he gives him visions. He loves Moshe Rabbeinu, so he is a very clever guy. God gives him wisdom, but talk like we talk with each other? Impossible. How can a God talk with a person? Huh? With what language? How exactly? So, what was happening in Mamad Har Sinai?
Yeah.
What was happening in Mamad Har Sinai?
Really?
Mamad Har Sinai.
God talked to her before she came on Aliyah.
God talked with all, each one of us in a different way. But the thing is, to believe that it really can happen, the proof is Mamad Har Sinai. In Mamad Har Sinai, everybody saw God talking not only to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was also talking to them.
Yeah.
The first two commandments, God was talking directly to Am Yisrael. They couldn't hear it. But they definitely saw that God is talking with Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, that's the proof that God talks with his prophet. Now, from then on, all the prophets, if they come, we understand that God talked with them. And that's the proof. There is also another important thing in Mamad Har Sinai. Vayichan Sham Yisrael ke'ish echad ve'lev echad.
Unity.
Unity. Which is what we have to hope for and try to get there. And which is, as we know, not very easy. So in other words, yes, you remember Mamad Har Sinai, but to remember the Torah, you don't need exactly the same thing. You don't have to know who Moshe Rabbeinu is because of one name in your parsha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is all the time in the Torah. So it's a part of the Torah. Same way as Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So they don't need a name on a parsha. They have a few parshot on their name. The name of the parsha is a deeper meaning for each one of us. If there is something special. And exactly this is why certain names are names of parsha. Because they're teaching us a way of looking at life. And here also, Yitro is this guy who was looking for the truth. And thinking about this, we always say there are three ways of listening. There is the way that we say in Shirat Hayam, talked about it last week, and everybody got a fright when they heard what happened with Am Yisrael and God. Az nivalu alofe Edom. Elei Moab yochaze morad, namogu kol yushvechnan, tipol aleim, emata vapachad. They got a fright. Bigdol zroacha, itmuka aven. They couldn't believe it. They were trembling with fear from God. Did they do anything about it? No. They went on in life. When God came and asked everybody, do you want to receive the Torah? Everybody had an excuse. And then there was this other guy who was hearing. And what did he do? He came and fight against the truth. Amalek. It's like us. We also. We sometimes have the fear of God, but we still do what we want to do with the fear of God. And sometimes we even go against it. Because it suits us. We want this. And it's in a lot of things in life. And one of the, and by the way, we have also excuses. We find that it's a mikre, asher kara, it's a malek. It's like somebody is smoking. Says, well, you know, smoking is dangerous and it's not healthy. It says, what do you say? I've got an auntie. She lived to the age of 100. She was smoking like a chimney the whole day long. But we all know that smoking is not good. That's it. But sometimes we want something so much, or we don't want to change our life, so we go against it. And then we have the one who hears, listens, and acts and does the right thing. That's Yitro. Yitro also heard what was happening, and he came and he converted himself. He wanted to become Jewish because he understood that's God. That's what he's saying. He's saying.
Yeah, he's did the first thing to say Baruch Hashem.
Did he actually convert? Does it say he converted?
There is a whole discussion about it.
Yeah, because they say he went back to his, you know, he admired and he.
No, they say he went back to in order to convert all those people.
Yeah, the family.
But you have to understand what the Zohar is writing about Yitro. Yitro was not, because what is here important to understand, Yitro was not just another goy. Or this anonymous priest. The Zohar says he was the high priest of the whole region.
Yeah.
That's why he was one of the consultants with the meeting with Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He was not just, he was, let's say, the Pope.
Yeah.
Like, imagine to yourself, this guy is at that high level. That's what's important about the Torah is telling us that Yitro is Kohen Midian. Because this guy was very famous. It's like tomorrow, the Pope will stand up in the Vatican on this porch and we say to all the people, I'm sorry to tell you, our belief is stupid. It's not true. The real God is the God of the Jews and the Torah is the real Torah. And I am changing and converting and becoming a rabbi. What do you think is going to happen?
They kill him. They threw him to the...
And that's what Yitro did. So I understand this guy. Now, what motivated him?
The truth.
Seeking for the truth. And that's exactly the point. That's why when he sees what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing, he's telling you, you are not right what you're doing. Because this is the truth. You like it, you don't like it, but that's the truth. This is Yitro. And this is why the parasha is called on his name. This is why we learn so much from this guy.
But every name of every parasha is like that particular incident. You know what I mean? It's Yir B'Shalach.
It can be an incident, it can be a name of a name, but the idea is the same. It's all, each one of the parshas is a lesson for us. Exactly.
But it's a unique thing.
Of course, that's exactly
the idea.
Exactly. So there is no reason to call a parsha Moshe Rabbeinu.
Uh-huh.
And not Yaakov, and not Yitzhak, and not Avraham. Because that's not the point. As we said, it's not the point to remember Matan Torah. Matan Torah is part of our life.
As far as they didn't call one parsha Akedat Yitzhak, because that was... You know, just one incident. One, a really life-changing
incident. And also he brought Zipporah and the two boys to Moshe.
Yeah, there's a...
But they don't dwell on
because, you see, what is important is exactly what... This, by the way, that's another big lesson. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his greatness, his kids are not going in his footsteps.
No.
And by the way, it's not that they're not tzaddikim or they're not evil chas v'sholam. They are tzaddikim, but they're not Moshe Rabbeinu. They are not seekers. Yitro is a seeker. I'm looking for the truth. And the sons of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were, let's say, normal. And by the way, this is one of the big lessons for somebody who's got in a, let's say, a public, let's say, job, and sometimes he's got no time for his own home. And that's where what happens with a few of the prophets also. That they didn't have time for their own home and the kids didn't go in the right way.
And Shmuel.
Yeah. Which is something that happens and it's also a lesson for us. Mm-hmm. To understand, even though you have a high power job, and it doesn't matter if it's being a chief rabbi of Am Yisrael or whatever, or Gdol Ador, you still need to have time for your kids, for your family. You have to look after them because if you don't do this, you will have a problem. Which is also a lesson.
To look at Trump, he had time for his kids.
And here is another interesting thing with Yitro. Because Yitro comes because he heard what happened with Am Yisrael and God. And then, Vayisaper Moshe lechotno in Pasuk Hei, Vayisaper Moshe lechotno et kol asher asa Hashem lefaro ulemitzrayim al odot Yisrael. And Moshe, Pasuk Hei.
Pasukei is a parak.
In the beginning of the parsha.
There is also a machloket. What he heard, why he came, what he listened. The Yom Suf, the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what exactly Yitro heard to come?
He's saying, Vayishma the beginning of parsha, et kol asher asa Elokim Moshe v'Yisrael. In other words, he heard everything. So, if he heard everything, 1 minute. If he heard everything, so why, after Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him what God et kol asher asa Hashem lefaro Yisrael of Israel, then vayichad Yitro, he shivered. Al kol hatovah asher asa Hashem leYisrael asher itzilom min Mitzrayim vayomer Yitro baruch Hashem asher itzil lechem Mitzrayim baruch Hashem umiyad paro ata yadati, now I know ki gadol Hashem mikol haElokim ki badavar asher zadu aleihem. What is badavar asher zadu aleihem? What do you mean now you know? What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell you that changed your opinion?
Yeah.
Okay, you believed in God, but now you say, wow, that's it. That's the God, the only one. There is nobody else. Why? Asher Zadu. What is Asher Zadu?
No, no, no. is zadu?
Zadu is if you want to do something wrong to somebody, bezadon.
Bezadon.
Zadu milshon zadon. Let's see how it's translated. Interesting. How it's translated in English there?
It's not in English.
Regina.
It's not in English? Okay. But everybody's got in English?
Whereabouts is that?
The it's Pasuk.
Pasuk Yud Aleph 11.
Yes, Pasuk 11.
Yeah. Zadon is like. It's not a nice thing.
Conspired against them.
Asher Zadu Aleph conspired. Okay. What do you have it in Portuguese?
In Portuguese, they say because all the things that they try to do to the Jewish.
Okay.
So to the Jews, they
put the babies in the water. They kill the water in the water and this and that. He Hashem go up on all the things and punish the Egyptian.
Okay, so
in the water.
Zadu is like plotted against him. Or conspired.
What?
Plotted against him. Plotted against him.
In other words, Asher Zadu. The beautiful explanation we learn a very interesting thing from here. Asher Zadu is what they had or what they planned for the Jews, but didn't do.
Right. They do.
No.
Plotted.
What they did, he knew. What he didn't know, all the details that showed him that they were punished not only on what they did, but they were punished also on what they thought
to do
and didn't do. Uh-huh. Asher Zadu.
That word must be used. It's not used in the Megillah?
No. Asher Zadu, I don't think. Really? It's
what they planned and they didn't do?
They were sitting there. And how does he know this? Because he was one of the consultants of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had Bilam, Yitro, Eov, and him sitting together.
And he ran away
and
from
looking for the final solution for the Jews. Yitro heard what's happening, he ran away. He says, I don't want to have a part with this. Eov didn't do anything, that's why he was punished, they're saying. And Bilam was the one who had all the good ideas how to finish off Am Yisrael. In other words, who was there? Only those four people. So who can know what they plotted, what they planned?
Only Hashem.
Only Hashem. One who was there. In other words, if you see what Moshe was telling him, they were punished like this and like this. He told them, hey, 1 minute. That's what they were talking about doing, but they didn't do it. But they were punished for it here. And here they were punished for the other thought, and another thought, and another thought. Who can know this? Only God. Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elohim, ki badavar asher zadu. This is only God who can know what we were talking in the room, because there was nobody else there. So here is my proof that there is nobody like God. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, of course.
An interesting word.
Yes, Asher Zadu.
And do you believe that it wouldn't be...
Now, what do we learn from here?
No, if it wouldn't be Yitro, another guy would listen all the things in the same way from Moshe and know that they planned, but they didn't do, and they was punished. And he will not convert, and will say, only Asher? Do you...
Yes.
It,
it happens all the time, but we're not going to go into it. That's Amalek. But that's Amalek. That's exactly Amalek. That's what we're talking about.
The motivation from Yitro, Rashi sought to explain the following question. Why would Yitro, the priest of Midian, abandon all these personal affairs and come to the wilderness in order to help the Jewish people? In answer to this, Rashi writes, the splitting of the Red Sea, caused the nation to be stunned by the Jewish people. Thus, after Yitro was shocked by the report of the splitting of the sea, he was extremely impressed with the Jewish people. However, he did not come to the desert at this point, since there was nothing to be seen, as explained above. After the attack of Amalek, the Jewish people were in need of a boost in steam, so decided to come to their assistance, having been so impressed by the splitting of the sea.
And they said, Rashi says, Asher Hirshiu.
Yeah.
Hirshiu. Or Rashbam says,
I don't remember who said that. I looked at so many explanations, so I don't really remember who said it, but it's one of the main interpreters of the Bible. And he said this is a brilliant, unbelievable idea, Asher Zadu, which is also very simple to understand. The only one who could know what's happening there is God. Otherwise, there were only those four people there. Mm-hmm. So this was the final proof for Yitro to see that that's the real God. And it's very interesting what we learn from here. They learn that we are Am Sgula, it's also written in our Parsha. Mm-hmm. What is the Sgula? It says, one of the Sgulas is that if a Jew thinks to do something good, a mitzvah, but he cannot do it, eventually doesn't do it, God considered it as he's done. From the other side, if he wants to do a sin and he doesn't do it, he didn't do it. From the other side, the goyim. Not only this, chashav la'asot avera ve'lo asa, lo nechshav. Chashav la'asot mitzvah ve'lo asa, nechshav for a Jew. From the other side, for the goyim, if a goy thinks to do something wrong and he doesn't do it,
he's punished.
Yes,
of course.
Yes, that's what's happening here. That's in our parsha. That's what we're talking about.
The
Egyptians were punished for what? Not what they did, but what they were thinking of doing.
Clothing.
Yes. And if a goy thinks to do a mitzvah, it would be fair that he didn't do the mitzvah. So, what's going to happen then?
Gornished.
Because he's a goy. You want to be rewarded for what you for your thoughts, for your good thoughts? Become Jewish. No, because by the way, we don't say anybody. That's a ger. Yitro is a ger.
Yes.
Ger tzedek. And that is one of the big question is what motivates those people to become a part of Am Yisrael? Why do they need it? Because you know you have a very simple solution. You can be a believer and do seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and that's it. Yeah. You don't need all those tariag mitzvot, and you become Chassidu Mot HaOlam. It's no problem. But if you really seek for the truth, it's not enough for you. If you love somebody, you want to be as close as you can to him. And that's what makes somebody to decide Ruta Moaviyah. You know, Ruth. You know what position she put herself? She was a daughter of kings. She had everything. And she decides to go with her mother-in-law, after losing all the family, all the money, nothing, and she knows, lo yavo amoni ve'moavi, you're not going to be a part of the congregation. Everybody knew it. She didn't care. In other words, she committed herself to God, to the Jewish nation, knowingly that she's going to be an outsider all her life. That is seeking for the truth and doing the right thing. Yitro also, to throw away all his belief when he's got his position that he is the priest, the high priest. This is not a simple thing.
Yeah.
But this is when you're looking, really looking for the truth. And there are a big lesson for us. Because we were born to it. So, okay, we believers. But when somebody comes from outside and he says, not only I believe in God, I want to be a part of the Jewish nation. I am committing myself to do all those mitzvahs that I don't have to. I can be a believer That's what it is. I can be a believer and still I don't have to do all those mitzvahs. I can do only those seven mitzvahs. Am I okay?
And also, we are more than the Haredim, that they are born Haredim, because we
are not more than a Haredim.
No,
we are more than those that were born. Don't label people, you know, because we are Haredim. I'm sorry to tell you, we are Haredim. Anybody who is Hared Ledvar Hashem is Haredi.
We did tshuva. Yeah. And they say that who is born like Haredi.
Not Haredi.
Not Haredi.
Religion.
Religion.
Religion. Okay.
במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אין צדיקים גמורים עומדים. But we have to understand also here, it's a very deep idea. It's not really literally, if you think for a minute, that tzaddik that all his life did only mitzvahs and is committing himself to the people and doing all the right thing, that is in a lower level than somebody who decided tomorrow after a life of, let's say, living and doing like an animal, suddenly decides to become a Jew, so he is going to be more important than the tzaddik that all his life is keeping the mitzvahs.
No.
It's not the idea. It says, b'makom shebal, it's not the same place, in other words.
Yeah.
It's not leveling the people. It's במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אין צדיקים גמורים יכולים לעמוד. You can explain it also, that the tzaddik, if he will stand in the place of a Baal Tshuva, he will go to the wrong side. He wouldn't cope with it. If you understand what I mean. במקום, in the place, uh-huh. that a Baal Tshuva stands, uh-huh. a tzaddik cannot stand. In other words, he could not go through the test of this guy who decided leaving everything and become Jewish. Now, who is more or less? That's only God who's going to decide.
That's right.
But what we have to understand, that for somebody to change his life, like Yitro, yes, that's a great thing. He wasn't born Jewish. He was not committed. But he decides to do it. Yes, or from this point of view, he is a great guy. But on the other side, sorry, so if I was born Jewish, if I was born like a mishpacha of tzaddikim, so because of this guy wasn't born there, he's going to get rewarded more than me? No. It depends what I'm doing with the tools I got and what he is doing. And the only one who knows this is God. We don't know it. But the idea is to understand that somebody who chooses to do mitzvahs is much more than somebody who is born to it. That's the idea. In other words, we have to get to the level of choosing doing the mitzvahs. That's what whatever the Rav Adam Sinai says. You don't do the mitzvahs because you have to do them. You do them because you choose to do them. And it's a big difference. It doesn't matter if you want or not, but you choose to do it. It's similar, but a little more. Because if you want to do it, okay, so I enjoy it. No. You have to choose to do it, even if it's difficult, but you choose to do it. That's our mission. Not to do things because we have to do them, and a lot of us do it. We go to work because we have to go to work, not because we choose to go to work. We do some of the mitzvahs not because we love them, or because we want to do them, or because we choose to do them, but because we have to do them. So what God wants from us? Do the mitzvahs, not because you have to do them.
Because
you choose to do them. And this is why, before God gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, He sent Moshe Rabbeinu to ask the people if they want the Torah, if they choose to go in the way of the Torah. And Am Yisrael said yes. Now, seven Ishma. And then something unbelievable happened. Says the Torah, kafa alehem har kegigit. He forced them to receive the Torah.
Man.
The question is why? They just now chose to receive the Torah. And now you're forcing them?
Yeah.
So there is a lot of interesting explanation. Because this is worshipping God from fear and worshipping God from love. What is more important?
Love.
But the problem is with love, that if you love somebody and you love him and he loves you, so sometimes it's like a kid, you know, kid, the same parents, he does a few naughty things. Ah, it's my parents, they love me. They will let it go. And if we will work this way. In other words, every time we've got something very difficult, so he says, okay, God loves us. It's not so terrible. I'll eat this.
It's a mixture of love and fear.
Of course. That's exactly the idea. So this is why, when the goyim are going to go, oh, you didn't give us a Torah. One of the things is, I'm sorry to tell you, you know, Am Yisrael, before I forced them to take the Torah, they wanted, they chose to do the Torah. They wanted it. And because they wanted it, then I forced them. Because I wanted them to keep it in the right way. So I had to have the combination. Now, one of the beautiful explanations of this is also very interesting. He says, Sham tiyeh kvuratchem. Says, that's what he says, Kafarim har kegiyit. Says, if you receive the Torah, okay, if not, there you will be buried. So one of the explanations is very simple. You know, what is Sham? Why not here? Sham? Says, you have to understand, the world was created for what? For what? What is the reason that God created this world?
To make a
good question.
For us. To do what?
To
make a home for him. Here.
To obey him.
To live in
to do the Torah. To commit to mitzvah, to the Torah. In other words, the whole reason of this world is for Am Yisrael, come to this world, receive the Torah, go to Eretz Yisrael, and keep the Torah. The combination of Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's all about. In other words, yes. In other words, what God is really telling us, if you receive the Torah now, okay, the world is going to go on, and we come to the, we're going to do the mission that we, the reason I created the world. But if you're not going to receive the Torah, what's going to happen? Im lo torati yomam v'layla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If my Torah is not being practiced day and night, I'm going to destroy the world. Because the world has got no reason to exist without the Torah. So in other words, it's not a threat. He's telling them a fact. It's not a promise, it's a fact. He says, you see, you have to take the Torah. Because if you don't take the Torah, this whole world is going to destroy. So that's it, finished. So that's what he's really telling them. That's kafalem har kegigit. One of the experiences says that there is Torah shebichtav, Torah shebaal peh. In other words, what Am Yisrael says, na'ase v'nishma. What's na'ase v'nishma? We will do what the Torah tells us to do. But Chazal, our sages, Torah shebaal peh, we will listen, and then we decide if we do it or not. Na'ase v'nishma. So God told them, no, it doesn't work like this. It's a package deal. If you take the Torah, you take also Torah Sheba'al Peh. Kafalem har kegigit. Why? For Torah Sheba'al Peh. And then what happened? On Purim,
yes,
they took it on themselves to do both willingly. The Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. When they saw what a tzaddik is doing, the power of a tzaddik, of Chazal, the power of our sages. When in Purim we see that Mordechai and Esther saved Am Yisrael. That's when they said, okay, now we receive the Torah happily, willingly. In other words, this is a few explanations about kafalem har kegigit, which, by the way, all of them are true. And all of them are good, because that's exactly the idea.
But it took a long time, eh?
Yes.
Till Matan Torah, till Purim?
Yes. Yes. But again, it's not all Am Yisrael. It's to understand, when it's on Purim, all of Am Yisrael accepted the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh on themselves. It's what like they say, like Matan Torah, a second Matan Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh. So there is a lot to talk about Parsha. Our Parsha is talking with the Ten Commandments, unbelievable things that we learn every day, and hopefully we try to go accordingly, because the Ten Commandments are the basic of everything, and they got in them all the Torah. And how it starts, and with this will end today, how it starts, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we talked about it a few times, and this is like really what we have to do with all the questions we have. As we said, we go to Moshe Rabbeinu, we go to the Rebbe, we go to this, and we decide by ourselves. All those things are connected to one thing. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We have to accept God on ourselves, that He is our God, He is our King, and we do whatever He wants us to do, and He... And that's the point. Says the Rav Noy Gershal in his explanation for Sefer HaKuzari, why is it written, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and not Ani Hashem Elokecha? We talked about it a few times, But now we get into it. That's Aseret HaDibrot. Says Anochi, we can say without a chaf, Ani Hashem Elokecha. What is Anochi? Anochi is what God is telling us, says the Rav Noy Gershal, an unbelievable thing. Anochi is from the word Anach. Anach is the thing that you use in order to see if the wall is straight.
Plumb line.
How do you call it?
Plumb line.
You know, yes, plumb. This with the, but you've got like
a string with the way.
Yes, exactly.
The buildings they used to. Yeah.
That's Anach. In old times they used to use this thing with a metal piece, yes, yeah. on it, so to see if it's straight.
Yeah.
Today they have this thing with a bubble, bubbles in, so which shows you if it's straight. In other words, what God is telling us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You want to do the right thing? I am
the Anach.
I am the straight line of the world. If you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going in the straight way. And as you remember, we talking about vertigo, which is what happens to pilots when they try to find themselves without all the instruments. And what happens is they really they disconnect themselves from the instrument. What happens is they think they go up, but they're really going down. And they did not one and not two tests, and pilots just killed themselves when they were not connected to all the clocks that they've got there in the plane. Today I heard that they have a special instrument in the plane that is going to keep it always in the straight way. But it happens also today. He's got a plane, he flies a plane, and he told me that once it happened to him, that he lost contact with the watch, with the clocks in the plane, and if he wouldn't take himself in his hand, he would find himself...
Tokayo. He's a pilot?
Yeah, he told me that once it happened to him, like he almost lost it.
So, that happened to Ilan Ramon's son?
Yes, again, I said the same thing. In other words, this is the Rav Noy Gershal talks about it. That's vertigo. He says, if you think you know and you find yourself, it's like a pilot in the space, a pilot is in the air. He doesn't have anything to rely on. And he loses the contact with reality. And he finds himself, if he doesn't look all those instruments he's got, he's going to lose it. And that's exactly here in this world. If you don't, the Torah is our instrument. The Torah is our tools to see the right way. And if not, we will be muddled up with everything is going around us. Mm-hmm. And we will, unfortunately, instead of going up to heaven, we will go down, chas v'sholom, to hell. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We want to do the right things in the eyes of God. And the Torah is our book.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Thank you.